Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, now take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones, and mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade, setting in the shade. Whether it's hot, whether it's cool, oh, what a spot for whistling like a fool. What a fine day to take a stroll and wander by the fishing hole. I can't think of a better way to pass the time of day.
Mudroom, and they're all scratching their fleas. Isn't that a great song? Coming up soon, the Lime Ball Sisters, Jay and Sandra. I'm your producer, Mike Cadell.
I can't think of a better way to pass the time of day.
Well, you know, you never know what you get. You know, you never know what you have till it's gone. That's what this singer Joni Mitchell once sang, and hopefully, I think we're gonna see the Neosho River get low, and thank goodness of the wisdom of our four people who put up our reservoir system here in Kansas, because that's what's keeping our Neosho River going right now. Later in the show, we're going to have Rob Burkett for a very short conversation. I'm going to let the sisters talk to him about the Neo Show. He was just there. He works for the Iola Register. And I'd like to let listeners know before I bow out of here that I consider the Iola Register a venerable institution. And I consider it's one of the best newspapers daily. Now, it comes out Monday through Saturday, I understand. And the Iola Register is a wonderful, wonderful daily newspaper there in the local area. You know, I always went to Iola for culture when I was growing up in Leroy. I drove from, and my girlfriends and my buddies, we'd go to Iola to see the movies. We'd go to the drive-in. I don't know if they're still working anymore. And I'd go to the indoor theater. Kay and Sandra are on air and they're listening. But there's culture in Iola, 22 miles away, and it was a big deal going from Leroy and driving over to Iola. Education, we have a junior college over there. I attended there, had a great time, enrolled and took nothing but literature classes. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? And all I wanted to do is study poetry and read books by Hemingway, and have my English teacher scold me and tell me how to write good grammar, which I'm still struggling with, listeners. But I wanted to let you know, Iola was a real center, and like I said, I'll be very short. But I wrote my first newspaper article at the, and whether you believe it or not, listeners, it was, it's called the Infernal Journal. It's the campus newspaper over there. And I wrote an article, and I was, you know, I was a hellion, still sort of a hellion. And I was, I wrote this article, well, I'll just show, I was going to expose the housing situation there. And I wrote this real this article, and I went out and took pictures and stuff about student housing, and I got in trouble. Automatically got in trouble. One semester at ACCJC, and I was in trouble already writing stories that nobody, you know, it's like my teacher, she says, I've never done this before. Mike, I'm going to have to introduce you to Emerson Lynn. Emerson Lynn. And I go, who? He's the editor and publisher of the Iola Register. You mean the Iola Register, the daily newspaper? And she goes, yes. And he, we've decided, after talking to Emerson, that we're going to make your article an editorial opinion rather than a news article. And I was sort of crestfallen, and I was like, oh, my God, who's Emerson Lynn? And in came this guy who's very wiry and handsome. I mean, this guy was very handsome 35 years ago. And he came in, and he sat down with me in this little office and said, you know, this is what we have to do. We, you know, and it's the right thing, Mike. You know, we know what you're up to. You're trying to stir up trouble. So Emerson has a distinguished, the editor and publisher, now he's the associate editor. His daughter, Susan, runs the Iowa Register. And he, it was his distinguished that he edited and sort of censored my first newspaper article that I ever wrote. And so we're going to have Rob Burkett, who works for Iowa Register, on later in the show. But I want to remind listeners that Leroy and the Neosho River are wonderful things, and I'm so happy to do this show. It brings back old memories, and I know it brings back memories for Kay and Sandra. And hey, Kay and Sandra, sisters, what? Have you seen the Leroy Reporter and with the rest of the new blog with the Leroy Reporter pictures of Independence Day and stuff yet?
No,
I haven't.
I got
to tell Kay how to go on there, I think. You go on them in your bar, you know, where your address part, put Leroy Reporter on there, and you'll get the blog.
Okay, I just don't get on the computer that often, but I'll get on just to do that.
Well,
but, yeah, because
wonderful. Go ahead. I'm sorry,
Your recipe's there, and the pictures from the houses that were decorated in Leroy for the 4th of July. Mike's got them all posted. Teresa Wynn sent them to him, and they are. They've got some neat pictures on there. But you have, they, of course, you're going to come up, but it's going to have the Leroy Reporter blog, and you have to read down through it and then click on the right one. But I clicked on some, and, you know, it's really interesting. I never realized that, and I never put the year down, but the Leroy Reporter used to be called the Neosho Valley Blade.
Oh, well, that was way before our time.
Oh, yeah, like in the 1800s.
Oh, okay.
But it was the Leroy Reporter, then it went to the Neosho Valley Blade, and then it went back to the Leroy Reporter.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mom. I did not know that.
I did not know.
If you go on some of these Leroy Reporter, Leroy Kansas blogs out, there's a bunch of stuff out there. There's some of the old newspapers out there, and they're interesting, and you need to click on those and read them, because they're like what you read to us last week, Kay.
I have a couple here to read to you today.
Well, you can.
I have one here from 1933.
Kay, hold on just a bit, because I want to remind listeners, last week she talked about Kay's got this wonderful collection of vintage news items, and it is this cherished. I've actually getting people from Germany, who are saying the ice house fell in the river. That's all they say. They've said, I have a lot of people listen to my other shows, and email me. And this guy in Germany, who I just, he's a good guy, he emailed me with one question I hardly ever hear from. He goes, "The ice house fell into Leroy? What happened?"
Well, you want me to read that article?
Well, you do whatever you want, Aunt Kay and Sandra. Now, you guys enjoy talking. Enjoy talking for a little while. And I want to warn you, in about 5 minutes or 10 minutes, I need to get off and let you guys visit, because I need to contact Rob Burkett with the Isle of Register and bring him on and talk about the river. We are going to do a little news, sisters, but go into history. Kate, I understand you were down there looking at that mysterious mural. I think mysteries are wonderful.
Oh, yes.
You were down there, and we've got to tell us what happened down there. That mural is very mysterious.
I don't even know who painted it, because Richard Crabtree was there with us, and he was telling us about the incidents that are depicted in this mural, which is the history of Leroy.
Well, I put the picture up, Aunt Kay. Right, I put the picture up, and you at the Leroy Reporter. Now, listeners, it's real simple. One word, Leroy Reporter, and then if you want to get right to it at the top, just go Leroy Reporter. Just Google. You know how to Google. Google Leroy Reporter, one word, and then space Blogspot, BLOGSPOT, and that'll get you on Google right to the spot. And it'll take you to this new blog that we've opened up, and it has the pictures of the mural and pictures of the holiday pictures of Independence Day, red, white, and boom. That was what I called it. Because
was that the house that won?
Tell us about
that. Was that the house that won? Oh yeah.
I'm not saying that right now, because I've got so many good pictures. Actually, I'll tell you later who I think won it. Maybe someone will call in. Callers, this is a live show. You can call in area code 646-716-8652. It's a live show. You can call in, and I'll put you on. Maybe people in Leroy are listening. I'm sure they are. We had 377 listeners last week. Area code, again, 646-716-8652. We're live today. I would like to throw a question to get you ladies yakking a little bit about the recipe I posted from Kay. I just was like, oh, who is Verna Martz? I mean, I don't even remember the name Martz. And what is a produce house? Would you two ladies talk a little bit about that? I'm going to bow out and let you ladies.
This is what Kay and I were talking about yesterday, I think it was, produce. She said, what was that? And I said, well, it was where we bought produce, and they sold it, and the farmers brought it in. They sold, the farmers brought in their milk, and Martz's would separate it and get the cream off of it. And I guess Kay and I were just surmising that they must have sold the milk to the pet milk company, right?
That's what we thought, probably.
That's
in Iowa.
Yeah. Right, because the farmers would bring in their big cans of milk and drop them off there at the at Martz's produce, and they had a big cooler. So the only thing we could think of that they did with the milk, because at that point in time, at our young age, who cared what they did with the milk, you know?
People brought in their eggs, too, and because I remember going up there just to kill time, and they'd let me candle eggs.
Right, right. And they would sell eggs, and they would buy them from the farmers and sell them to other people. And then they would sell chicken feed, and had all kinds of feed in there, too. So, and that it was on that wall. Isn't that where the mural's at, is on that wall where the produce was?
Yes, it is.
Okay. That's the building where Leroy Martz is. That's where the produce was at, and that whole building. Well, and that was where Bill Parmalee had his egg rendering plant, his egg rendering. Egg processing plant. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Egg processing plant, yeah. So that's That's got a long history, that building does, of doing different, using different farm products and going into, out to be useful to people. So, you know, there's a good history there in that building alone.
Yes,
I don't know what's there now.
I don't either.
Is there anything in that building now?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I was going to read you a funny article here from 1933.
It says
John Godley and Dr. Milo Kessner had an encounter with an angry bull one day last week. They had followed a wounded jackrabbit into a pasture in order to put the animal out of its misery. His bullship resented their intrusion and came bellowing toward them. Both men turned on the gas and ran for the fence, but John fell behind. He appealed frantically to Milo, according to the tale told of the occurrence. Shoot him, Milo. I'll pay for him. John has been the butt of considerable joking on account of the incident, but his friends privately admit that in the same circumstances, they would not think it a joking matter. And that was in the newspaper.
Yes, I really get a thrill out of reading how they wrote things back then.
I know. And here's another one from 1934. It says, the First National Bank of Leroy has weathered the troubles of the past years in excellent shape. The management has made every effort to attend to the financial needs of its patrons so far as was consistent with safety. Following the moratorium last March, the First National Bank of Leroy was one of the first to open up for unrestricted withdrawals, and it was a compliment to the institution that its depositors had such confidence in it that only money needed in business transactions was withdrawn. So evidently the bank has always been a stable institution in Leroy.
Well, it sounds like. I wonder who was running it back then.
I have no idea. It doesn't say in this article, but that was in 1934.
Who was L.V. Watson? Because in one of these things I was reading on the Leroy Reporter blog, there was an L.V. Watson. And
well,
was
that was Maud's husband, which was Van's father.
Okay. Then he must have been involved in the bank then at that time.
Probably back in the 30s because, Van was there when we were kids. So his father probably had it then prior to him. I think that's kind of the way it went.
Right. And then Richard Crabtree, who we were just talking about, his dad was working there in the bank too.
Yes, right.
That's where he worked. But I, when you brought that up about the bank, there's an article in some of these things, if you go in on some of the old Leroy Reporter things, about how the bank, and they were talking about the bank and how stable it was in that period, because that was back when the Depression was first going. 1934, wasn't that sort of at the
Depression
middle
time,
of the middle of the Depression or something. So,
I have an article here on this ice plant falling into the river. It says, right before our eyes, our little world changes. It is oftentimes so gradual that we take the minor changes for granted. Then one day the change becomes abrupt, bringing with it a need for it to be recognized before it is completely gone. An old barn on the high bank of the Neosho River in the southwest residential area of Leroy is gradually sliding into the river. Under the barn is a cellar, walled up with some sandstone rocks. Ed Cook, who was a Leroy businessman, built it around the turn of the century. The cellar was built to use as an ice house. Roy Johnson, who lives in Burlington, was a former resident of Leroy for many years and worked for Mr. Cook. Blocks of ice were cut from the river with an ice saw, which looked similar to a cross-cut wood saw. The ice blocks were pulled by a horse from the river up to a trough near the edge of the river and elevated into the cellar for storage through the summer months. Downstream, about a block from the ice house, was a sawmill, which furnished plenty of sawdust to put around the ice in the cellar to keep it from melting through the summer months. I can't believe that would work.
Well, this is great. This is what it's all about, what our Leroy show is about, and it's possible. That's great, Kay. That is wonderful that you You know, I've heard they use sawdust, and they use the river for a force to power their sawmills, and I've heard that that was. I was just today, before the show, Tristan, my 15-year-old, rebellious, beautiful son, came downstairs, and we were having lunch, and he was getting iced tea, and he left the iced tea pitcher out, and I said, Tristan, put that back in the ice box, and he goes, where, Dad? Icebox. I said, well, Tristan, you know, in the old days, all they had was ice to keep things cool, and you don't open it up, open and shut it all the time. You know, you lose 75% of all the cooling when you open that door, and then you just, you know, leave it open, and you left the ice tea. He says, all right, Dad, I'll put it up. He said, I thought it was called a refrigerator.
Well, this article goes on and says homemakers depended on this ice to keep their food cold in ice boxes. Ice boxes had two compartments, one in the top for the chunk of ice and one in the bottom for the food. The inside of the ice boxes were metal, with the outside made of hard wood. A tray underneath the ice box caught the water from the melting ice, and it was necessary to empty it several times a day. Ice boxes worked because warm air rises. The cake of ice in the upper part of the ice box absorbed the heat from the warm air. This cooled the warm air and increased its weight. The heavier air flowed downward to the food compartment, where it again lost heat to the ice. The melting ice produced water that helped keep the ice box moist, which helped to keep the food, since moist air retards spoilage. I always thought it caused mold. Anyway, that Ed Cook also had a business on Main Street in Leroy. He had a meat market north of our place, our place is a business, on the west side of the business district for years. This business burned, and about that time he closed down his ice house. There were other businesses along the riverfront in the area of the ice house. A relative of Ed's remembers him talking about the cottage cheese and butter factory just down the river south from the ice house, operated by Roy and Ira Baker.
Oh, my land. Really?
Yes, those names are familiar.
Well, Ed Cook, now let me insert this. Ed Cook, Michael, was your grandmother Almeda's grandfather. Hello? Mike, he must be doing...
Well, no.
Anyway, Ed Cook...
I'm bouncing in and out because I'm getting ready to call our reporter. And I just want to that name rings a bell.
It's some of your relatives, Ed Cook.
On my side.
Right. On your dad's side. Yeah.
Right. Almeda. Would this be an Almeda's uncle or her father or who?
No, it was her. Okay, let me see. Her mother was Weaver. It was her grandfather.
Oh, okay. I see. That
so
must
be your great grandfather. Great grandfather.
Right. That must be the pictures that Almeda used to show me of this guy. She claimed he was a lifelong Leroy. What do you? By the way, before I go and contact reporter Burkett, do we call ourselves Leroyans or Leroyites or just Blue Jays? I don't know.
We were Blue Jays, but I would guess we were Leroyites.
All right, I'll listen in, but I'm going to call reporter Burkett. We won't put him on too long, but he's at his desk, and I want to call him, and I'll get through the Iola Register switchboard. And ladies, carry on. You're doing wonderful. Thank you and thank you, Aunt Kay, for reading these stories. This is what it's all about. This is listeners. This is why we need our newspapers today, whether they're online or in print. This is why we need our newspapers. And thank you, Kay. I'll be back in about 5 minutes. I'll see you
later.
Okay.
Well, this says here. Right. I'll go on here. It says just north of the river bridge was a brewery. The brewery home was very close to the river. And when the river finally cut into the house so close that the back porch fell into the river, they relocated it safely in from the steep bank. The riverfront, no doubt, was the hub of activity in the infancy of Leroy. Mr. and Mrs. Turley from Kansas City have bought the land where the ice house is located. from the Ira Edwards estate. Merle Houck said they plan to move to Leroy after retirement and build a home in that location. From a historical point of view, the old-timer had a lot of the facts on the history of our communities. Some of it is recorded in history books, but compared to what isn't recorded is overwhelming, and it's almost too late. Like the old ice house on the riverfront that is all but gone. We'll miss that old ice house like we miss the old-timers who made the history and took so much of it with them.
So right,
That was the article on the ice house.
Ira Edwards, was that the Ira Edwards that owned all the farmland down there?
Yes, and that drove the Cadillac cars.
Right. Oh, yeah, I would go buy them with cash, and people never knew whether he should take his checks or not. So he owned where the ice house was at, or what?
That's the way I read this. Yes. Uh-huh.
Oh well, I'll be darned.
Because Kansas City had bought the land where the ice house is located from the Ira Edwards estate. So I would guess he owned that land.
Right. Well, Ed Cook was the one that
operated the ice house.
He operated the ice house. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Roy and Ari Baker. Now that's where you said they had that cottage cheese factory.
Yes. I just can't believe that it was a cottage cheese and butter factory.
Cottage cheese and butter. I never knew that.
No, I didn't either.
This must have been back in their younger days.
Surely was because they were farmers.
1934, is that what you said?
I'm not sure what year this actually, it was written in 1980, the article was.
But I'm not sure when the events
took place.
Right, okay. Also, what was Vera Holmes' parents' name?
Carter.
Was it Carter? Okay, because there was an article in what I was reading on some of these old Leroy things. May Carter, that was her mother, wasn't it?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, because there was somebody that had died of Folkley, and they were staying at F.J. and May Carter's home during the funeral time.
Oh,
and I thought,
really?
May Carter, that was Vera Holmes' parents.
Yes, that's right. We called him Jay. I don't know what his first name was.
Jay Carter, that's probably why it's S.J.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what his first name was.
Right, but, I don't either. But
yeah,
anyway,
he ran
that
a hardware store where I don't know what's there now. He ran a hardware store.
Was that where White's hardware store was at?
Yes.
Were there? Okay, uh-huh. Okay, that's what I was thinking, that was the Carter hardware store. Well, that's very interesting about the Roy and Ari Baker cottage cheese
and butter factory. I know.
Well, it was cottage. Well, wait, I was gone for a minute, ladies. You said we had cottage cheese and a beer factory. Now you know the
butter,
beer factory
butter.
Got my the oh butter. You know the beer
oh,
factory
well,
got
no,
my
butter.
I had no. Wait a minute. I had to leave and call Rob Burkett with the Isle of Register. I got him on the phone, but I mean there was a brewery, sawmill, and ice factory along the river. I would definitely think that the ice and the beer would go together. You know what I mean?
Well, yes. Well, so did the cottage cheese and butter.
Right.
Oh, what a precious golden treasury of good stuff about the power of our river, the Neosho.
This is all on the Neosho River.
I know, and I think that's, I'll be real quick because I need to bring Rob Burkett on with the Isle of Register because he's working. We're not. But we're having fun. But I got to say, and I do want to share some stories later in future episodes of the Leroy Show for you Leroy listeners, and I know you're out there because you're sending me pictures, there are 20-foot holes. There's not only beautiful gravel bars with sand, even sand and fossils, along the gravel bars, but there's 20-foot holes in the Neosho River where catfish and the fish can live. They're deeper than 20. I remember trying to dive down to the bottom of them and swim to the very bottom of those holes, and my ears would pop and get cold. It was cold in that green water. It was precious memories and real stuff today. Now, ladies, Rob has written an article just yesterday about the condition of the Leroy River. And, yes, that's why I brought him on with the Iowa Register. I'm going to bring Rob Burkett. That's B-U-R-K-E-T-T. Now, listeners, I can't emphasize enough for you to go to Iowa Register. It's one word, iolaregister.com, and get your news. This is local stuff, and it's the vital importance of our community newspapers, and it's really the closest to a daily. Rob, are you online, brother?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
Mr.
Burkett, I'll bow out, and you can give us a short report and let the ladies, let Kay and Sondra Limbaugh, ask you a few short questions. We don't want to take up too much of your time today. And thank you, Rob Burkett, and thank you, the Iowa Register. Go ahead, Rob. What happened yesterday when Governor Brownback showed up down the river?
Well, Governor Brownback has been, I'm sure you have, if you've been paying attention to the news, you know that he's been on what he's been referring to as a drought tour around the state. He was out in central Kansas around Salina day before yesterday, and then took a swing down this direction, stopped here, and then went down into the into Neosho County shortly after he stopped here. But he stopped at the water treatment plant here in Iola because he wanted to talk to the water superintendent, Toby Ross, here in Iola, and just kind of get a general feel of how things have been around here. A lot of the local area leaders got together and sat down with him and some folks from the Kansas Water Office, which is the state organization that kind of handles this kind of an issue when we have an extended drought like this. So, he was very receptive. He listened more than he spoke, and so I thought, as well as the local officials thought, that it was a very productive meeting. So, a lot of positive results came from it.
Well, good.
That's good.
Yeah,
well,
so
the Neosho River provides a lot of different things for the area that it goes through.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
no, it's a major irrigation line, as I'm sure you well know. I mean, a lot of the water that feeds, the irrigation fields and so forth along the river come directly from there, and they're receiving a lot of their water right now from the John Redmond Reservoir up near Burlington. It's just dried up so horribly that they had to start pumping extra water into the river just to keep up with the demand. It's been an interesting time around here as far as that goes. The farmers have been taking it pretty tough, but we're kind of doing all right, I guess, right now.
So what is
right.
the status of the river? I mean, the level of the river, is it real low?
What the superintendent and the folks at KWO were talking about yesterday was that in its natural flow state, which is to say, when you don't pump any water from the reservoir in there, it is actually rather low. I mean, it's to the point where they've had to put in a drought warning to the point where if it were for the reservoir and the water that they had been kind of storing away, we would be in much more dire straits. The river is doing well. It's at its pretty normal level, but the reservoir that it's drawing from at its deepest level right now is only 12.5 feet, which is a lot more shallow than they'd like to see it right now. So
Right. But they are pumping water from Redmond to the downstream. Mm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. The only concern they have right now is in about another week, Westar Energy up north is going to start, especially in the Wolf Creek area around the nuclear power plant there, they're going to start drawing off quite a bit more water than they have been using the last few weeks. And so there is some concern that maybe there might be a little bit of a more serious look at whether we need to go into like a water restriction situation. But that's something that most, that the governor and all the officials there said that it's not a major concern yet. So we're just kind of waiting and seeing what's going to happen.
Yes,
right. And it's
that's
not,
all we can
there's
do.
Not, there's not much that anybody can do until unless it rains, you know. So,
so,
no,
so
it's,
sort of, does a nuclear plant take a lot of water?
Yeah. The way that the Wolf Creek plant's set up is, most nuclear power plants especially operate this way, but Wolf Creek's pretty much relies exclusively on a what they call a hydroelectric catalyst. Mm-hmm. Basically, it uses water to boil up steam off of the nuclear reaction, and then the steam then powers turbines that create electricity. So it's definitely very reliant on the Neosho River and making sure that it gets enough water. If it doesn't, then they're going to have to reduce power output. And if that happens, then you have the possibility. I mean, it's very unrealistic at this point, but it's possible in the realm of possibilities that you could have situations where you have, power outages in certain parts of the rural area of the state. So, it's something that everyone should be a little concerned about, but not really worried about yet, because they're still another month or two away from really being in terrible condition.
We might get some rain between now and then. Let's hope.
Well, you hope so. I mean, you hope so, especially for even despite the power and everything else. The farmers, one of the things that the governor got to hear from the mayor, even though the mayor doesn't really represent the rural part of the county, he did kind of speak up for some of the rural farmers, Bill Shirley down here, the Isle of Mayor, and he basically said that, were not for the fact that they had a pretty good wheat crop before this drought hit, farmers could be in some serious, serious trouble financially. They're looking at a $26 to $28 million shortfall this year because of the corn crop has been so poor.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And the beans
now
are going
to
suffer.
No, it's true. Yeah. It's true. The beans have been kind of holding on barely. They're a lot more heat resistant than the corn is, from what I understand.
I'm not
a farmer myself, but they're not blooming quite as well as they have in past years, and so the bean yield, I guess, is going to be pretty poor comparatively speaking. I mean, it'll still do all right, but they're not going to do as good.
Okay, now are there very many farmers that irrigate from the river?
Yeah, there are. There are a lot of actually, especially in the northern part of the county here in Allen County. They do irrigate quite a bit off the river, but they're actually starting to talk about the county commission level about maybe restricting some of the times of the day and how long you can irrigate and things of that nature if this persists. I mean, the main message of the meeting yesterday was that for the immediate future, which is like to say the next 2-3 weeks, we're perfectly fine. And so no one really needs to worry. But if it prolongs past that, if we don't get a significant rain in the next 3-4 weeks, then they'll have to seriously look at maybe making some decisions. But, I mean, they're not really prepared to make a call yet.
I see.
Well, the Neosho River.
Well, thank you, Rob. Rob Burkett, thank you for your report. And it's very valuable to us people who are living outside of Leroy and inside of Leroy. I'm sure this is very newsworthy, and I appreciate your time. I don't want to take you from Emerson Lynn.
No problem. I've enjoyed the time.
Wait a minute, Mike. Hearing your report about everything, the river is very important to that area down there. We're just from the modern day usage and the old times, why it has been a good river.
Oh, absolutely, I agree. It's really one of the true lifebloods of the county. I mean, really of the region.
Right.
I mean, without the river, agriculture, which has been around since the beginning of the state, all the way up to nuclear power, which has been around for maybe only 30, 40 years, all that stuff's affected when the river starts to dry up like that.
That's right.
Yeah, I want to interject. I worked and helped build Wolf Creek Nuclear Power Plant. Worked 364 out of 365 days down there. Got paid good money. No complaints. But I wanted to let you know that that cooling pond around the nuclear vessel, the facility, actually is really it doesn't require as much water as people may be afraid of, and it's a wonderful creation. It's helped Coffee County get great schools, public schools, tax benefits, and I want to throw this at you, Sandra, one of my hostess here. She pointed out to me that Neosho Falls, a place I'm trying to encourage tourism to, Leroy and Neosho Falls, is in Woodson County. It's not in Allen County. I got all confused about that because we do. I know Iola does Buster Keaton film festivals.
Sure.
And I'm fascinated. But he was born in Pickway. Now, I think technically Pickway is in Woodson County, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, just barely, but it's over there.
Yeah.
Well, with that, thank you for giving us your time, and spread the word down there at the city desk that the Leroy Show will be looking for Iola Register reporters regularly, and thank you, Mr. Burkett.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome. I appreciate it. Thanks for having
me on.
Thank
you. It's very interesting.
You're welcome.
It was.
I'll put you on hold, Rob, so if you want to listen in, you can there while you're on the clock working. Well, that's my payback to Emerson Lynn for censoring my first article.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. I shouldn't laugh so loud. But I want to tell you, ladies, now I've got one more thing to throw at you. We need to go through our recipes for the week. I got two of them. One question, I was like an idiot. I was bugging Sandra before the show this week, and I was saying, well, Kay put up this ice cream recipe for making homemade ice cream, and it doesn't say how much milk to put in, because I was actually thinking about making it myself in a skillet. And then I got to looking at, well, you idiot, it says 1 gallon ice cream. But question number one, I think I've seen this, people use hand crank, some sort of infernal contraption where you put ice in a bucket or something, and you crank it and you put this stuff in it. And you put salt on the ice. They call it
ice cream salt, and somehow that would
make ice cream in the heat of the summer. And last question, who are the Martzes, Verna and Leroy? And that recipe. And I'll bow out. Thank you for putting up with me and Mr. Burkett.
Verna's recipe was the banana cake, and I did not have a name on the ice cream recipe, so I don't know whose recipe that was. But it also says in the instructions it says flavor and milk to fill within 4 inches of top of freezer. So it may not take a whole gallon of milk, but anyway, and it was ice salt. You had to get ice salt to use to freeze your ice cream.
Right.
Isn't that what they called it? Was ice salt?
Right. Ice cream salt, right?
Yeah, ice cream salt.
Right. And it was big chunks of salt.
Yeah,
it wasn't real fine.
It was a coarse grain. I would assume you can still buy that because we have the electric ice cream makers, which would take the same thing.
Right, and I have seen it on the shelves. It's sort of like a novelty type thing now, but back then you could buy big bags of it. Yeah, you could buy big bags of ice cream salt back then because do you remember how we would have the little kids they'd have the little kids set on the top of the ice cream machine as you crank it so it'd hold still so when you crank it, it wouldn't jump all over everywhere.
Right, yes. And, you know, we used to go to Holmes's, out to Holmes's a lot, and we would freeze ice cream. That was our entertainment, I guess, and our treat was to make homemade ice cream. I mean, we went as a family. We'd go out to Holmes's and we'd make homemade ice cream on a Sunday afternoon just to, you know, we'd spend time together.
That's right.
And I can remember making homemade ice cream when we'd go out to Holmes's. It was always fun times when we were kids.
What, there was, how many, they had three kids and there
four.
Was four of
they
us?
Had four. They had four.
Adela, Leanna. Oh, right. What was the youngest boy's name?
Jesse.
Okay. Warren and Jesse. Yeah, there was four and four. Well, eight kids. You know, you had to have something for them to eat. So
you're right.
They poked ice cream down us and made us freeze it ourselves. So.
Yeah, we had to freeze it. That was our entertainment, I guess, or our reward. I don't know which was the ice cream at the end of making it.
Right.
But that
we always
thought it was fun. You know, we made fun out of our work, evidently. But
well, we had to back then. We never had that much entertainment like they do now.
No. We had to make our own, it was with a group, which, you know, we had good communications back in those days because we were together a lot with people.
Communication was sort of more personal. And I
that's
think,
right. One-on-one.
I think poetry. Yeah, and I think poetry meant poetry. As poetry means that to me, and I know Aunt Kay, you haven't been able to get on the blog yet, but there's a picture of this beautiful picture that provided by Teresa. I'm not going to. I guess it's Teresa Ellis. I'm not sure who it is. I don't want to say who it is. I don't know. Maybe it's Teresa True.
I thought you said Teresa. Oh, right. Teresa Wynn was, I think, her maiden name.
Okay, it may have been, but the point is, it's a great photo. I put it right at the top of the list of photos at the Leroy Reporter, and it's a picture of the what I call the bandstand. Now, they're calling it nowadays the gazebo.
Gazebo, but right.
I know for a fact, Edgar Archer, my music teacher, I'm just almost sure of this, Edgar Archer saw that bandstand, and it is actually bigger than a gazebo, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And
maybe it isn't
now, but it used to be. You could put a band up there, and I'm sure Edgar Archer, one of my really dearly beloved music teachers from Leroy High School, put a band up there one fall or summer, I can't remember when, and actually had them serenading from the main street. And I thought it was just, even then, with my despicable attitude, I thought that was great stuff. And, you know, I'm telling you, I mean, I think back about that, my music teacher and that grant and the bandstand, and I saw this photo. They're columns, brick columns at the front entrance to the park.
Yeah,
and, it just really brings me close to tears what's inscribed on those columns, because it has to do with World War II and coming, or World War One. These are old homemade plaques right there on the columns, and about peace and fellowship. It just made me, when I was looking, I enlarged those photographs and looked at them, and I thought, oh my God, how touching. There was people for peace and fellowship way back in 1920. It's just the wonderful thing there.
They had just come out
of
World War One. Right. Well, yes. And World War One was a very upsetting time for our country at that time. And our country had never realized war since the Civil War then. So some of those other little wars. So. You know,
sister, we only got a few more minutes. I'd like you, you could share any memories of the bandstand at gazebo. Do you have any memories of what you did? That was right near your house. Homer and Beulah's house is right near there. I'll get offline. I want to hear you guys talk about that, Kay and Sandra.
We used to go up there and play. Remember when we used to go up there and play, sit around up there in the summertime?
I don't ever remember ever having any bands play there, which would have been really nice. But I do remember us playing there as kids, because that was just, you know, right there at the corner of our house. So we grew up in that park.
It is big enough to hold a band, because didn't they redo that, Kay, and didn't you put a brick or whatever, you put it there and put Mom's name on it or something?
Well, there's a plaque on the – I donated money, and then there's a plaque that has name, and I donated the money in Mother's name. And they redid the bandstand. I think they put a new roof on it and repointed all the foundation or whatever needed to be done to the foundation. And but that's been years and years ago that we did that. They went in there and redid that bandstand. But I know doesn't it have benches all the way around it?
It used to.
But that's where we would go and sit and do our visiting, I guess we did. I don't know. Surely we weren't old enough to gossip, so we must have visited.
Oh, I bet we were out there talking about other little kids around town.
We might have been. But, you know, it always seemed like it was so cool because the park had such huge trees in it at that time. So, you know, we always had shade. We always had lots of shade when we were kids.
Right. And it was always cool over in the park, you know.
Yes.
We had hot summers like we're having now, and
yes,
we never had air conditioning. And we would go to the park, and everybody would just sort of gather in the park, and we would sit around and visit with each other. So,
right. Yeah.
You know, so that's, you know, the park has always been sort of a center of town. But, yeah, I saw that picture on the Leroy Reporter blog, and it is that is a neat picture of the two brick openings to enter the park. It is nice. So, whenever
you
get
on, I've never noticed that.
Okay.
Has that always been there?
What, the plaques?
Yeah.
You know, I guess.
Well, isn't that something?
I know. I never realized that. I guess I never took time to read them.
I don't think I ever did either. I didn't know they were there. But I'm sure those brick posts were always there. Those
they were always there.
The park.
Right, because they were. You could walk right down the path to the bandstand.
Yes.
From
yes.
You know, they sat on the corner.
The bandstand was the center of the park.
So right. Yeah.
All of the entrances from the park went to the bandstand.
That's right. Right. They were all at an angle. They all came in at an angle. Right. Right. So, but no, they do. I guess I never did take time. If I did, I don't remember it. You know, the plaques on the openings of it.
I don't remember that either. Not at all. I know when we were young, when we'd go to the church, we'd cut through the park because that was just a zip through the park, and we were almost at the church, Methodist church. Because whenever we'd just go for MYF or whatever we kids were doing at the church, we'd cut through the park to get to the church.
Right, yeah, that's right. That's the way we would go.
That's right. I guess we walked or we rode bikes.
Right. Well, ladies, I want to ask you a question. Marts, were they involved in the produce center? I think I overheard while I was making the phone call to the Iowa Register. You were saying that they were just farmers would grow human food and bring it in and sell it at the produce market, and that's where you think that building is, where the mural is?
Yes.
I'm sorry, someone's got stuff going on in the background, but
Marts has had a farm there. They lived out there right across from the cemetery, Leroy Cemetery.
Oh.
They lived on a farm out there.
So the building was just like a produce where Marts and other farmers or what would bring in food?
Well, they bring in their produce. They bring in their milk and eggs, and they would buy their grain to feed their stock and to feed their chickens. Marts has kept that in on hand to sell to the farmers, and then the farmers would bring in their milk and eggs, and Marts would buy that from them, and then Marts would sell it to a market.
I see. I see.
And that's where Mom used to buy her garden seed too.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Now
that. They had garden seed, bulk garden seed, and she would go up there and buy so many, you know, half a pound of seeds or whatever, and they'd measure it out for you and bag it up for you. And they just sold everything, you know, like that, because, and it was a big operation right there on the corner, and it was the highway still at that time too. So.
Mm-hmm. And Marches they were very good friends of our family. They were very close.
Right. Right. And the man from Iowa, Mike, he might remember Kay as Kay Mitchell.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you know him, Kay?
No, I didn't know this young man. I didn't know him.
Okay.
Well, when I was the young man is excellent. Well, never mind how old he is, but
everybody's young to us, Mike.
That, you know, I am beginning to understand that. And at 57, I'm beginning to understand that. But I must tell you, I did go through and I did use your name and your married name to walk right through. I just walked through the switchboard of the register and walked right through. I mean, on telephone. I just said, just give me this and give me that. And Susan at the switchboard was lovable. She knew. It was almost like they figured out what we were up to.
Oh, is that right?
I think, you know, I want to say something, and I don't get, I mean this, this thing about trusting women. I think there's a mischievous edge to women and trusting women. And when you trust women, it opens doors. It really does.
Okay.
I did. I told about Kay Mitchell and Sandra Cadell Lineball, the Lineball sisters, and they just opened the doors there at the Iowa Register, which is still, it just was wonderful. And I'm never going to breach my promise about politics and damn little religion. I'm going to stick to my thing because we've got a wonderful show, sisters. We really have a wonderful show. Many, many people, even from Germany. I mean,
that's what
you said, right?
Why did the ice house falls in the river? What's happening? You know,
that was so interesting. What you read today, Kay, about the brewery, which I never realized that Leroy had a brewery along the river.
I know, and cottage cheese factory.
Right. But, and it would be interesting to know where they were located on the river, you know, what part of the river they were at.
I was thinking I had read that someplace where it told how it was located, but I can't find that again. It kind of has slipped through these pages, but I'll have to look that up and see exactly where this was located.
Right,
but
right.
I think it's all along that river, you know, where the water plant is now.
Right.
I guess, is it still there?
The water plant is out by the cemetery, isn't it? Or used to be. Maybe I'm wrong.
No.
You know where Bruchens lived?
I do.
Yeah, I think.
Well,
right.
It's the last street going north and south inside the city limits.
Right.
On the west side of town.
Okay.
And then it curves.
If you go south off of the highway, then you have to go to your right out to the water plant.
As far as you can go. And then
you run right into the water plant.
Well, you have to turn right. They got a little road down that goes down there to it, don't they?
Well, it's been so many years, I don't know. I can't
there's a little road that goes down
but
it's right there in that area.
I'm guessing a lot of this took place down in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Probably. That's probably true.
What's making me say that is because Ira Edwards lived on that street.
That's right. That's right. He did. I forgot that. And if it was he owned the, what was it that they were buying from him? Oh, the brewery he was in his estate?
Well, he owned the land where the ice house sat.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
So that's
okay.
What makes me think it had to be down in that area.
Right, because I think he owned all that land back over there across the street from where Bruchens' house was over across the street. He owned all that land, so that was probably true. He owned that land back over in there where the ice house was and everything.
Now, I don't know how far south it went, but, you know, on the river. But
right. But that was interesting how they...
The river is. It's a lifeblood. It really is for our river towns, and it's going to be that way. It's not going to go away. And I got to throw
another
that
thing,
out about. I'm so thankful that our planners built these reservoirs. I really am. You know.
Oh yeah. Okay. Very good. It was interesting. Have a good hot day.
Okay, it's 109 here today.
Oh my God, it's warmer down there. Well, that's Oklahoma. My goodness. Have fun, ladies, and we'll be back next Thursday at 2 p.m. Thank you so much for listening to our show.
You're welcome. Bye.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.